But right now, we do indeed bring in Chris Landry. It is time for the Landry Football Report right here on Sports 1140. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy holidays to you guys. Merry Christmas.
You know, I tell you, I want to talk about Doug's favorite position, and that's kicking in the NFL. Because I'm looking at the Rams, and I don't see enough people talking about losing Greg Zuerlein, who's basically been automatic for them, and the impact that could have to this team in January. How big of a loss is this?
Well, it's a big time leg, and anytime you lose a guy like that, you're losing points potentially. Now, it is, you know, certainly to me, I think it has an impact on kickoffs. You know, your whole where the opponent starts their opening drives, or excuse me, start their drives after kickoffs, I think is big. So, absolutely, I think it's significant. And certainly getting someone that can kick field goals, particularly inside the 40, is something that is not that difficult to do, but it is a little bit of a roll of the dice. Losing a guy like that that's that reliable is definitely a huge loss.
Chris, it has been, I think it's 6 weeks since the last time we saw Ezekiel Elliott. He looks to be in tip-top shape. They are playing the Seahawks. What do you see in this Cowboy bunch as you go down? Obviously, I think they're going to have to win out. They're going to have to get some help. But if they get in, they should be formidable.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that to me, I don't think they're – certainly with them, they're a lot better. I don't know that they're of any danger or threat to anybody if they were to get in. As you mentioned, mm-hmm. if they get in, they're going to need some help. But I think they're an average football team. I think that defensively, they're very limited. With him, they're very capable of you know, maybe winning down the stretch. But I think if they were to make the playoffs, I think they're one and done.
Yeah, I don't like the way he comes back and handles himself with the press. I mean, you know, speak, get it over with, and then say, after today, I'm not talking about it anymore. But, you know, again, it is what it is. See, and here's the other deal with Dallas. First of all, they got to make the playoffs. But it just seems to me, and you and I talked about this, I think, several times this year, Sean Lee on the field, Sean Lee off the field. I mean, you could make the case he's been the team's most viable player this year.
Well, they're a completely different team without Zeke, and how they play defensively without Sean is quite a bit different. He gets them lined up. He certainly erases a lot of mistakes. They're just a very average team, you know, unless they're able to control the line of scrimmage and fundamentally play good football. But the reality is, I think that every team that's in the playoff race is better than Dallas. I mean, right now,
sure,
they're ranked ninth in terms of – now, again, they're tied with Detroit and Seattle in terms of a record. But even Seattle, I mean, Seattle, Carolina, the Rams, the Saints, the Vikings, the Eagles, they're all better than Dallas. So I think that you know, it would be very, very difficult for them. And again, not so much to get in with their schedule. They could slide in possibly with some help, but I don't think they're a threat. I think they're a one-and-done team. A team like the Rams or a team like the Saints would beat them in the first round, and that's who they'd end up playing if they got in.
Chris, the Bills and the Pats, this is a game that probably you wouldn't think that this would mean playoff implications this late in the season, especially for the Bills. They play again. The Gronk factor with the last time that they met, in your eyes, any way that he needs to maybe fear some retribution in this game?
No, I don't think so. I think that obviously would create a problem and penalties that would eliminate any chances you'd have to competing and beating the Patriots if I were Buffalo. I think that Buffalo's challenges are to try to slow down Tom Brady, and that's going to be enough on their mind, and Gronk and the rest of them. That's just going to be tough. New England is obviously wanting to hold on to home field advantage, so it's important for them, and Buffalo obviously needs it to hold on to their slim playoff hopes. They'd be in right now today, but again, they've got a tougher schedule, whereas Baltimore's got a little easier schedule, which is probably why, after this week, Buffalo really won't be, in playoff positioning. We'll have an outside shot in going into the last week, but they're going to need a lot of help.
Chris, when you look at the Patriots, do you read anything into Tom Brady's trainer being asked to leave the facility and no longer around? We don't usually hear stuff like that coming out of the Patriots. Is that chinking armor in any way?
No, not chinking the armor. I think chinking the armor would have been if they had allowed it to take place. This is a guy that that's obviously somebody that Tom Brady trusts and believes into what he's done, but the guy overstepped his bounds, went into the facility and basically began to start treat other players and do things that you just don't do that. He had a lot of, what's the saying, chutzpah to kind of overstep his bounds, and quickly he was eliminated from the situation. Now, if he provides some help to Tom Brady, they're not going to cut him off with Tom Brady. It's up to Tom, and certainly up to other players if they want to seek his advice, outside of the facility. But in terms of coming in and basically kind of setting up shop and doing your own thing, being on the sidelines, being on the team playing, and he, I think, clearly, you get a little too big for your britches. I think
right.
he thought that he was truly a part of the team. Hey, you know, we'll give you a shirt and we'll let you be on the sideline and all that. And I think he thought, yeah, I can do what I want, and I think he was quickly understood that that's not the way it works.
We're talking with Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report. Check everything out on LandryFootball.com. There's a very good chance the Raiders are going to end up 6-10. I got a two-part question here. Number one, is Jack Del Rio's job in jeopardy? And number two, the fact that they only have 1 year left in Oakland, if they were going to go in that route, wouldn't they just start fresh and do it when they go to Vegas?
I don't think Jack's job is in jeopardy, should not be in jeopardy. I think a couple of things need to be looked at. First of all, they've not really gotten this defense as good as they needed to be. That's one. Secondly, I think everyone needs to understand, and anybody that's dealing with an injury, that when a guy goes into an offseason and there's an injury, people automatically say, oh, he'll be back next year, he'll be fine. A player's not the same. Rarely is he ever the same coming off of an injury. And the reason is you don't spend your offseason working on your game. You spend your offseason trying to get healthy. And there are different things that you spend your time doing to get healthy and to get ready to play instead of working on footwork, working on mechanics. We see it almost all the time. I mean, 80% of the time, even a little bit more, you see players, but specifically quarterbacks, come back off of injuries, and they don't have the same type of year. Clearly, Derek Carr was not the same. It's not that he can no longer play. It is the after effects of this past offseason, in my view. I think it's a significant issue. So,
interesting.
I think they need to get better. I don't think it is Jack. I think Jack is willing to kind of do things differently. No, I think it makes all the sense in the world. And the timing factor that you brought in is a convenient way to continue it, in my view. I mean, I think that not just for the purposes of they'll be leaving for Vegas at the next year, but just it makes football sense to say, wait a minute, this is a guy that's had some success with us as a head coach. He's changed the culture in Oakland, badly needed. Let's fix this, and I think that Reggie McKenzie's got to do a better job. They've got to get more pass rush. They've got to get better defensively. And I think if they do those things, I think you'll see the improvement next year.
Chris, the Jaguars, Bortles has in the last few weeks has been really good. Is this good enough in your estimation that he can just manage the games, and can they be a true threat in the playoffs?
They're very good defensively, and they are in a position where, and like any quarterback, if you don't have to play from behind and try to score every possession and force the football, you're going to play better football.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, they can manipulate coverages and get safeties moved into the box because they run the football so well, he can make plays in the passing game. He's absolutely done a good job and done it with a receiving corps that's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about they've got some good young receivers. They're mostly injured.
Okay.
So he's really doing a good job. But again, he's not asked to, overcome a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter type. They've been able to play really good game control. And I think at the line of scrimmage, they match up pretty well. And I think if they can hold up defensively enough, and I think that's debatable how good they could do against Pittsburgh and New England in the playoffs defensively. Can they hold those teams to 17, 20 points? I think this Jacksonville team can compete with them and have a better chance than most people think. But I don't think this Jacksonville team, if they have to score in the high 20s or 30s, I don't think they're able to do it.
Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, who were down on the mat, and they've picked themselves back up, and now once again are in the driver's seat in their division. And it just seems to me that defensively they are flying around the football a lot more. But what's the big difference that you've seen in the last 2 weeks with the Chiefs?
I think offensively they're able to balance out the offense with the run a little more. They got away from that. I think Matt Nagy as a play caller's helped. That's helped their defense. Their defense is on the field way too much. There were too many three and outs, and all of a sudden it was a problem. I think they are playing better, more aggressively, but I think they're also in this nice little stretch here where they've gotten better, and as it was in the early part of the year, if you look at them, they get a lead. All of a sudden, you got a lead. You can make an opposing offense one-dimensional. You can be more effective. So I think they've definitely found their formula back. Can they continue to do it? I was surprised. I thought that the Chargers were playing much better and would go into Arrowhead and probably win the game. They did not. The Chiefs beat them. Now, can they – that's what everybody wants to know. Can they do it in the playoffs? Well, I don't know. Maybe in one game. I don't know that they don't match up very well against Pittsburgh, and I don't know – that I like them beyond, say, a first-round win. And it really depends, you know, if they're at four, at the four seed, you know, they've got a better than 50-50 shot to win that game at home.
You know, I was following that up because you just made a very interesting point. We know that this team has been, you know, a good team in the regular season, and then they haven't been able to win in the playoffs. And I'm just wondering, you know, if that same path is followed where they make the playoffs and they don't win a game and they have nothing to show for it, could that be a franchise-altering offseason, and I'm starting with the quarterback?
Well, I think and I believe that barring a Super Bowl run, meaning they make the Super Bowl, and I don't think Alex Smith is going to be back. I don't think that's – remember, his contract is up. They're not going to pay him big money. He'll get decent money in the market, and that's why they drafted Patrick Mahomes. So I believe they're moving on from him anyway, and the only thing that's going to derail that thinking is – if he just balls out and just makes, you know, I mean, he just leads them and they go to the Super Bowl and, you know, I don't know if they would have to win it, but, I mean, he'd have to just clearly say to the point where, uh-oh, we've got to sign this guy.
What about Andy Reid?
No, Andy Reid's fine.
Okay, there's no way Andy Reid. So Alex Smith, and again, I hate to use the term fall guy, but you think that win or lose, barring a trip to the Super Bowl, they'll have a new quarterback, but no issues with Andy Reid, right?
No. I think that Andy drafted Patrick Mahomes to be the future, and I think the future is likely going to be next year anyway. And it's a good plan because you've got a guy, you can groom him, you didn't have to play him this year. And, you know, again, barring Alex Smith just going on a tear and leading this team to, like, you know, AFC Championship or Super Bowl. I say Super Bowl, but, I mean, if he clearly just rips it apart and they say, hey, you know, we got to keep this guy. I don't think that anything short of that, I think they're moving on from him. That's what I think. It could be wrong, but that's the way I view it because I don't think they're going to pay that type of money to keep Alex Smith there. But, Andy Reid is – he's the foundation. He's the guy that's making the personnel decisions overall. And, you know, they've got a really good front office structure now. And he's certainly one of the better coaches. I think that, they like the stability that he brings. And one of the reasons why they moved on from John Dorsey, even though he's one of Andy's guys, was because they wanted a little bit more stability and a little bit more consistency in the organization. So I think Andy's back, unless Andy decides he doesn't want to coach anymore, and there's no indication of that.
Chris, the Steelers, no AB, it looks like. Not sure if he's going to be back for the playoffs. Then Ben, not really sure what to make with the offensive coordinator in that last play of the game against the Patriots. What's your take on them going into the playoffs?
Well, I think that loss was really tough because – it means that they're likely going to have to go to Gillette and win. And mm-hmm. They can do it, but it's not likely. I'm not going to be shocked if they go in and do it because they can play with them. They showed it last week. They can play toe-to-toe with them. But to me, it just set up, and maybe I've got the mindset that last week whoever got home field advantage is probably going to win it. And, again, I don't think either one of these teams are dominant or great, that they can't be beaten by the other because I think they can. I just think that with Brady and Belichick and the fact that the Patriots don't beat themselves, you put them in Gillette, I just think it's going to be really tough for them to do it now. You put them in Pittsburgh again, Listen, we might have a hope we have a game like we did last week in the AFC Championship. That would be great. But I think the key for them is Le'Veon Bell. You can run the football on the Patriots, and if he has that type of game and he's running for a $180, you know, then they can go on the road and beat New England. But it's just New England does all the little things well. I mean, that game last week is a microcosm of, you know, why New England wins their division every year and usually ends up in the AFC Championship, if not the Super Bowl. It's because it's the things that they don't do. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they have Brady. Yeah, they have good game plans. But they don't make the crucial mistakes that kill them. It's the other teams that make it. It's Seattle that screws it up on the goal line in the Super Bowl. It's Pittsburgh that kind of screws it up on the game they should have won. Yeah, they probably a bad call, or they may win that game too. I get that. But, you know, you look at it and you study it, it's usually other teams that make some mistakes, and that's usually the biggest part of winning games. Remember what Jack Nicklaus said? You know, they asked him about all of his majors and how he did. He says, I just played my game and let everybody else screw it up. You know, I just didn't make the dumb mistake. I hit fairways, I hit greens, and I let everybody else make mistakes. It's something to that. If you look at it, the well-coached teams, usually they don't turn it over, they don't make the dumb mistakes. And, you know, in close games, that's usually the difference.
Have you seen enough in 3 weeks from Jimmy Garoppolo to say that the 49ers have found their quarterback for the future?
Yes. He's, to me, the difficulty is going to be that they don't have a contract and it's going to cost them more now than it would have when they made the trade, because he's played well. He is their future. I like what they're doing. You can see now some of the other parts of that team starting to show up, like the defensive line. Well, that's because the offense is kind of moving it, and their defense is staying a little fresher. They've got a good future there. They've got their quarterback. They've coming off of a good draft. They don't have to address the quarterback in this year's draft. They've got a good future. That division is definitely leaning towards the future of, you know, good young team with the Rams, good young team starting to come around. I think the Niners are another year away, but boy, I think their future is very good.
Do you think that now makes it more likely that Kirk Cousins stays with the Redskins?
Yes. I mean, he's definitely not going to San Francisco.
That's right.
But, you know, who might make a play for him? Still got some teams that need quarterbacks, but it definitely, you took the guy that knew him the best, that liked him the best, that covered him the best. It definitely, I would put the Redskins as the favorite for his services if the Redskins are, you know, willing to go that direction. If they say no, you know, we're going to go with a younger quarterback, draft one, well, then that'll be their decision. But I think the chances are enhanced that he stays there, because the other options might not be all. I mean, I don't see, for example, Arizona or somebody, you know, making that move. I just don't see a lot of people doing it. So I think there's chances are definitely better.
I was on the website earlier this afternoon, LandryFootball.com, and I know that there are those that are still wondering what they're going to do for a gift idea. And I love the fact that right now you have a holiday special up to 67% off. So let's talk about that.
I do, and it's something that you can still get done through December 31st. It's the best offer we have. It's the year offer that'll take you through the rest of this football season. What does that mean? All the bowl games, all the playoff breakdowns, everything to do that with the postseason work, recruiting, free agency in the NFL, the draft, all the offseason work that we break down and grade every player in the league and let you know truly where the needs are and what the teams are thinking, all the inside information. Then it takes you all the way through next football season, all the coaching search stuff, everything for an entire year. It's the best offer we have. So if you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. It is the best time to join, because this offer won't be here after December 31st. So, listen, it's like having your own scouting department at your disposal for less than a magazine subscription. So check it out. We wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I think it's going to be a great holiday season with food, family, and football. Who could ask for more, right?
You know, Chris, we didn't script this thing out, and you can tell the fans that, because that led right into my next question. All 49er fans, listen up, because my next question was, well, you go to Landry Football, and this is what you're going to find there. If you are the 49ers, what do you address in the draft since you got a quarterback? Is it an offensive line? Is it position players? In your estimation, what do you look at?
Well, I like what they've done with their defensive line. I would continue with that, with looking at pass rushers. I think they've done a good job with players that can play at the point of attack. More speed on defense is what they need, and I think they can improve it on all three levels defensively. Offensively, getting more weapons for the quarterback is something that they're going to look to do. But I don't think it's a case where, like, first round, this is what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. The draft board should dictate that to you. You get the best players, and you fit them in the order in which the quality of player would dictate that you take them. Now, clearly, the guys that go the highest are quarterbacks and pass rushers. Again, they don't need a quarterback. So they're in a position now, unless they want to take a young one later and develop them. I think they're in good position. But in short, edge pass rush, speed on defense, certainly want to address and look at the offensive line and more playmakers on offense. So, listen, they still got a lot of needs, but I think the core is starting to get there. I'm excited about where they're headed, more so than I was, obviously, at the start of the season. And the reason is Jimmy Garoppolo, quite frankly. They've got their guy, and I am really impressed with the leadership and his ability. I think to get rid of the football on time accurately is, I think, is very, very special. And it's why this team, I think, is headed in the right direction.
Chris, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys. Thanks a bunch, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Very good. That's Chris Landry. Great stuff from LandryFootball.com. All right, two games left for the Raiders. And on Christmas night, they are in Philadelphia taking on the Eagles. And here to talk about that and everything else Raiders is Lincoln Kennedy. What's up, Link?
I was still waiting to see if I get that phone call from Reggie. Maybe come out and play a few snaps since Donald Penn's down.
No kidding.
Yeah, but he hasn't called yet, so I'm giving him hope, and I'm just gonna have a Christmas on the sidelines. So
but of course, Link, you know what? You're in shape and ready to go if that call comes, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Ain't gonna be a whole lot. I'll give you a couple series.
Hey, you can smoke a snow.
You know I keep the quarterback clean. I'll do that.
Oh, I know that.
You can smoke a stogie on the sideline.
Heck yeah.
Okay, I like it.
We're the Raiders. We can do what we want.
That is awful for Donald Penn. You know, the surgery on his right foot.
No doubt.
Boy, you just hate to see that.
Yeah, well, I saw him when he went down and the way he was hitting the ground, I knew he was severely hurt. And then, and then it got the report, of a fracture, and I was like, "Oh, that's tough."
Yeah.
That's tough.
Well, what's tough now is two games left, and now, obviously, you know, I don't even know what to ask you because it's so disappointing the way they played in Kansas City, and they had a chance to beat Dallas, and now you got to go all the way to the other side of the country and take on an Eagles team who's still trying to nail down the top spot in the NFC.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I guess you can really summarize the epitome of the season and last weekend's game with the index card. So close.
Have you ever seen anything like that, Link?
Never in all my years. And I guess I read somewhere where they said they had done it before in a game a few years back, but I have never, ever seen anything like that.
First half struggles. I mean, not putting anything on the board in the first half and then 17 in the second half. Is there anything that you see that's kind of leaning to why they're struggling?
Errant throws.
I got you.
Bad execution. It's just, you know, what is off? Look, Derek Carr is what makes this engine go.
Mm-hmm.
So if the quarterback comes struggling, even with what they would try to say, you know, the throws to build his confidence to get him in the game early, and he's still struggling with that, then that's a problem. It is a problem. The missed time that he had with Michael Crabtree a couple times really cost them because they were at three and outs, and they could not get any momentum. Meanwhile, on the other side, you know, Dallas was seeming to be able to move the ball pretty convincingly up and down the field. You know what I mean? So it's instances like that where if the Raiders start off slow, it's really hard for them to keep up and really hard for them to put points on the board. Now, they've got the ability within their offense because they've got quick strike potential to where they can come back and they can be a part of the game once they get things going. But I'm sure there are a lot of fans out there who will sit there and watch, say, the second half versus the first half and be like, wait, where was all this in the first half? How come it didn't happen in the first half? But
it's
something that has plagued the Raiders, especially this season, starting out notoriously slow.
Yeah, and it's, as you said, it's pretty much been the story of this edition of the 2017 Oakland Raiders. Link, you've been in the league a long time, and about getting off the mat. I mean, they did do that against Dallas, and they lost a really close game. And now you lost two games. Now you got to get ready to play. And I know you always talk about, well, you know what? You play for pride. You play because you're a professional, and that's what you do. But not everyone can do that. Give me your thoughts on this matchup.
It's going to be a tough one. it's going to be a tough one because, like you said, typically at this time of the year, you can pretty much summarize the teams in two directions, either just trying to get through it because there's nothing waiting on the other side, or they have something to play for. And in both instances, both teams do have something to play for. The difference is you haven't seen a pillar of consistency out of the Raiders all this season when they had things to play for in the past. So, you know, I'm a little worried about this game. I'm a little worried with it. You know, you're coming back to Philadelphia. It's going to be cold. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be on Monday Night TV and all this other stuff. And there are times that we've seen this season, whether it be at home or the road, this team hasn't showed up. And I would hate to get embarrassed to the final Monday Night Football game. I would hate for this team to be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed for them if they don't show up like they did in Kansas City or in a national audience.
Right.
But it also might be very – it could very well be the point where I like the Raiders, but, you know, if I want to be honest, they're an average football team. They're not a good football team, not a bad football team. They're an average football team. Philadelphia Eagles are a good football team, even with Nick Foles. So this would be something like, if, for all those people out there saying, well, if the Raiders just take care of business again in the playoffs, this is when you see an average football team take on a good team. Now, anything can happen when you get in the playoffs, but let's just be realistic. You're going up against a good team. If you're not ready to play, you're going to get embarrassed.
You know, Link, with that being said, if you're the GM, assuming that the head coach is back, yourself looking, what are you looking for? Do you like anything that you see pieces-wise that you can bring back and begin to build on? How do you evaluate this?
Well, I don't really do a lot of evaluation at this point. Here's the problem. You know, your first two draft choices didn't play for you this year.
Okay.
So that's a big deal. So you've got to find a way to get either recoup that draft choice or get those players back into the fold to make them productive because they add to the defense. Now, there's still pieces of the defense they need to add. They're going to have to find a linebacker or a stud linebacker or two. And so depending, let's just say that they finish 500. Well, then they're going to have a middle of the row pick, middle of the round pick. So, you know, I don't really know a lot of college talent who's out there, who the stud linebackers are, because I've seen a lot of college football, but I haven't really paid attention. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. So, as far as the evaluation, you keep trying to build on the foundation. You've got your foundation pretty set. With Derek Carr and Amari Cooper under contract, they're going to have to sign Khalil Mack to a big deal. They already know that's going to come. But you stay with your foundation, you keep doing what you do. You just have more and more pieces to it.
Link, is there anything that you've heard or that you see about the two young guys? Will they be fully recovered? Where do they stand?
Oh, well, you know what? Here, my thing is you can't make the club in the tub.
Grant's favorite quote.
You really get no interest out of me if I don't see you on the field.
Okay.
So I don't pay attention to those injury reports and stuff like that because, you know, I know – you know, I don't know Garion, you know, personally. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. It's one of those things where, you know, I really have no interest until I see you out there performing.
It's really simple. You're either on the field or you're not, and that's it. There's no gray area, and I love the way you are because you're like a hard-nosed coach. It's like, hey, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm not saying I don't have a sympathy for the guy, but I don't care. If you're not playing, then don't talk to me.
That's exactly right, because you're going to perform me. I mean, we bring you in there as a player to contribute to the team, to be a bigger part of the process and the family. And if you're not, if you're sitting there watching us on the sideline, you do me no good. You might as well buy a ticket to be there.
Unbelievable. Link, will the team, because it's a Monday night game, will they fly out there on Sunday?
They're going to fly out on they're going to get here late Saturday night. I'm already back on the East Coast. I'm visiting family for the holiday.
Okay.
But they're going to get back here, I think they're supposed to land in Philadelphia around 11 o'clock at night.
Gotcha.
On Saturday night. So they'll be out here Saturday night.
All right, Link. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Same to you and your listeners, guys. I'll see you soon.
All right. Lincoln Kennedy.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, that's the way he is. He's like, I've had so many talks about Link over the years about that thing. It's like, are you lining up? Are you playing or not? If you're lining up and playing, okay.
Great.
If you're not, come talk to me when you're ready to go.
Wow. That's a whole different ball of wax in a mentality because I think they needed Garion.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, again, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about those guys.
Oh,
it's
no.
not that. It's just that, hey, I don't care. You're not. Don't even talk to me about these guys until they're on the field.
Yeah, you could be amazing talent, but talent means nothing if you can't show it and you can't get out there. Oof.
Right, he's right there, isn't he, boy?
I think he's spot on. This is going to be an interesting time for the Raiders because they can play spoiler with the Eagles, or they can fold up the tent and absolutely get embarrassed.
And there's two things. There's a difference between being hurt,
and being injured.
So and totally. You know, because I mean, I'll never forget in the Dallas playoff game, I walked into the table and you're like, "Napes, man, I don't know," but and then you go, But I will be out there, but I don't know how.
You got to figure it out, right, man. Especially when it's those times, you understand. I mean, now, do I pay the price? Yeah, I do. But if you ask me if I would do it again,
sure,
you're damn right I would.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Don't forget Dave Yeager at 5 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Dave Yeager coming up in about 12 minutes or so. King's Landing at 3:05 this morning. 6-hour flight, but a back-to-back road win, so you're like, you get on there and you're good to go.
Yes, that makes it a lot easier. The food tastes better. It doesn't seem like 6 hours until you realize it's 3 a.m.
And, you know, I love being in New York over the holidays, but we were only there for, I mean, it was, I walked around the city for a couple of hours, but.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but.
You didn't do any shopping?
Just for myself.
Are you serious, Grant? Come on, man. Come on. You're in New York City.
I was out with my brother. We went out to lunch.
So what? He can go with you. No shopping. Are you serious? You are in New York with some of the best shopping. You're going to wait till you get back to Sacramento. Last minute, everything picked over, and Grant Napier is going to be going around the malls. That's how you're going to do it,
I didn't
huh?
shop in New York. First of all, I didn't have the money, and number two, I didn't want to carry it around all day.
I was thinking of an excuse for that one.
No, I'm serious. I don't want to carry it around all day.
You got the money. Don't do that.
New York and the, you know, New York and the holidays is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It is. I will say one thing. You know, I grew up on Long Island, and I've been to New York City thousands of times, okay? Maybe a thousand times, whatever. But you and I've been there a lot.
Yep.
And it's so different now because of the era that we're living in. And yesterday, not to get off on a tangent, but I want you to know this because you played with the Knicks and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's a feel there.
There's an amazing feel. But I've always, even when I was a little boy, and I really mean this, I used to, even in second and third grade, when my dad worked in the city, and I really mean this, I would walk from school a mile to the Long Island Railroad.
Okay.
Get on the train, change at Jamaica. Take the train into Penn Station. No, I'm serious now. And to find where I was going, I would come out of Penn Station, which is underneath Madison Square Garden,
right?
And I would try to find the Empire State Building. And that's where I would walk towards because my grandmother and grandfather lived two blocks away from the Empire State Building.
Okay.
So I would walk to their apartment on Park Avenue, Hotel 10 Park Avenue. That's where they lived.
Okay.
And then I would go there, and then we'd walk with my grandmother or grandfather to my dad's office. And I'm not exaggerating. I did that by myself when I was in just second and third grade, which now, are you kidding me? But anyway, I want to get off to my thing.
That was beautiful.
No, I'm very serious.
No, because as a kid, you got Siri and all this stuff. Directions used to be, where do you go? Hey, the big building with the tip on it. Or by the yellow store on the corner, you take a left.
Right.
Now, not so much.
Like, but this is no disrespect to either of my sons listening, but if I had told my son when they were in second and third grade to try to do that, I would have never seen my son again. My son would have ended up in, like, Daytona Beach or something, all right? So that I did change to Jamaica, but I thought you meant Jamaica down in the Caribbean, all right? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, and now I'm going to say this on a serious note. I was unnerved for the first time in my 55-plus years of going into New York City, walking through Times Square with the New York City Police counterterrorism units in full battle gear and their assault rifles. And it wasn't just one or two here and one or two there. It was everywhere.
Really?
And I'm not talking about the New York's finest, which they are New York's finest, but generally speaking, in New York, over the last several years, there's been a very heavy police presence in New York, and it makes you feel good. I've always, for me personally, I mean, it's like, wow, okay, I feel safe. But I will tell you, when you see the New York City counterterrorism units on the street with their vehicles, with their I'm talking about full gear, with their assault rifles,
ready to,
and they're everywhere.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, you know what? It was like, I guess this is
where we're at.
That's where we're at. And I was just thinking, God, what a shame. And thank goodness that we have law enforcement and that all that's. But it just it made me think. Gosh, this. And I was walking through Times Square yesterday on my way to meet my brother, and I'm like, you know, this is the first time ever in my entire life, and I've been to the Bronx, and I've been to the Queens, and I've where I ever felt unnerved. It unnerved me.
Wow. You know, oddly enough, Grant, I was 18 years old, and I went to Germany for the first time. And when I got off the plane there, they had assault rifles.
Yes, they do.
And that was the first time it happened to me. And I look at the guy, and I'm like, where are you going? And I think he did it kind of laughingly, but he kind of pointed it at me and said, go. And he pointed with the gun. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. But that is – it's a different – it's a different feeling. So I understand when you say police, but now you go and there and you got it's a whole different vibe.
It says on there, you know, it says they have jackets, New York City Counterterrorism Unit, and they have their vehicles that say Counterterrorism Department. And I mean, I'm talking about full combat gear. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, like, it was like, wow.
Wow. I mean, hey, it's so you went to Rockefeller Center, you walked around, and okay. So as a kid, normally you do that with a air about yourself that is having a good time, but now you're on point.
You cannot now walk through the city without noticing. It is totally different. Even the intersections, there are police on every intersection in the middle of the street now with their whistles. They're even preventing, in some major intersections, pedestrians walking when it says don't walk, which is a real problem for me. So I went to a different street. But because of the pedestrian, when we were on the
That's
bus
crazy.
Coming in from Philadelphia,
right,
midnight, we're driving on the West Side Highway,
okay,
where that terrorist ran down the pedestrians,
uh-huh,
and we pulled to a stop sign, and on the pedestrian walkway, on every intersection, there are cement barriers so that vehicles can't drive there anymore. And where the tragedy occurred, where people lost their lives, there were hundreds of bouquets of flowers right there. And we saw it at 12. And I was sitting, and I was like, and we all looked out the window on the bus, and we were like, I'm like, that's where it happened right there. And we were just like, wow. You know, but again, every single entrance to the pedestrian path now, bicycle, has big cement cylinders so vehicles can't drive on there anymore. It's just unbelievable.
Different time.
Nick. It is a different time. But, you know, I mean, New York in the holidays is very special. But
it
I
is.
Will tell you, if you for anyone that's listening that has been there the last few weeks or is on your way there for the big New Year's Eve celebration, I'm telling you, just be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Because you can't go there and not notice.
Wow.
All right. Coach Dave Yeager next.